भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयत् नस्तप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, text number 20? Too bad it wasn't 21. Today's the 21st anyway. Sukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus, the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Responsively, everyone please repeat. Sukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus, the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Material life means being fully absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Out of these, sleep is taken very seriously. While asleep, one completely forgets the object of life and what to do. For spiritual realization, one should try to avoid sleep as much as possible. The Goswamis of Vrindavan practically did not sleep at all. Of course, they slept some, for the body requires sleep. But they slept only about 2 hours, and sometimes not even that. They always engaged in spiritual cultivation, nidrahara, vikara, adi, vijitao. Following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, we should try to reduce sleeping, eating, mating, and defending. I think that's one of the first things that ignorant people, anti-cultist leaders, they criticize us for sleep deprivation. It's like they have this idea when you deprive someone of sleep, then they become very weak and it's easy to brainwash them into some ideology or dogma or command structure, whatever. But the fact is that the body scientifically needs 2 hours to rejuvenate. We didn't discover that. Material scientists have acknowledged that apart from those 2 or 3 hours to physically rejuvenate the body, the rest is psychological sleep, dreaming. You can go on, I mean, some people sleep for 9-10 hours a day. And they're just the same people. The reason I say the same people is because many of them joined the Hare Krishna movement in the late 60s and 70s. Could be trained to sleep for 6 hours, and it was just fine. So time is very valuable. We're living a very short duration of life. And practically, a great portion of our life is spent in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So in order to maximize our time so that we can probe, search, study, realize, so that we can get free from the cycle of birth and death once and for all, there are a myriad of various problems in this material world. But people, having no other recourse, they attempt to make a patchwork solution, a bubblegum solution, stick things together with bubblegum. And it's never satisfactory. They create one solution to one problem, and that solution itself creates 3 new problems. And the final result is that they have to come back again and go through the same cycle of birth and death. And, well, I don't believe in reincarnation. I have a cassette produced by one of my godbrothers, Madhu Pandit, called Radio Ram, The Adventures of Radio Ram. I don't know if any of you have ever heard it, but there's part of it is about this Dr. Gilmore. He's the founder of the American Euthanasia Society, and he's performed over 20,000 abortions. Anyway, he gets in a car accident and dies. And he gets brought to a talk show, or one of those competition shows called What's Your Karma? Now it's time to play What's Your Karma? And here we have the host of our show, Don Yamaraj. It's really funny. And there are 3 panelists. One is
Alfred Hitchcock. The other is Elvis Presley. And the other one is Bruce Lee. And Dr. Kilmore goes before them, and he's asked different questions. What's your favorite food?
Well, Don, I really like steak.
And then food analysis in the mode of ignorance. The panelists give their input to where the guy is going, what his karma will be. But at one point, he says, but I don't believe in reincarnation. And Don Yamara said, did you hear that, folks? He doesn't believe in reincarnation. And the whole audience, you know, there's a, he's, Madhu Pandit is doing everything. He's doing all the voices, all the sounds, everything. But he does, he was a professional radio announcer in his former life. But does a really good job. The audience laughs, you know. He doesn't believe in reincarnation. And then Don says, well, doesn't matter whether you believe in it. Do you believe in the law of gravity? You know, whether you believe in it or not, it works. And the fact is that we have to change this body. And we have an opportunity to get a better body, Suchinam, Srimatam, Gehe, Yoga Brashto Vidayate, even an imperfect yogi gets a much higher birth. Or, if we are blessed by Krishna's mercy, by his devotees' mercy, we can get free from the cycle of birth and death and go to Goloka Vrindavan and be with Krishna eternally. And get free from our suffering condition. So we have to make an effort to do this. It's not like it's going to just happen automatically, because 99.9% are bewildered about material life. Pravritin chadna vritin chadjana navadur asura. The asuras, they don't know what is pravritti and nivritti. They don't know what to do, how to act. They take to pravritti and enjoy unrestricted, because you can't control the senses. Once they get a feeling of independence, just like children. Children need to be monitored. They need to be parented. They need to be controlled. And if the parents think, oh, if I give any rules and regulations to my children, they won't love me. So just let them do it. Let them stay out all hours of night. Don't challenge them when you find, you know, some roaches in their desk drawer, and I don't mean cockroaches either. Let them do whatever they want. Well, when children get in that mode, they go wild. They have no sense of how to control themselves. The senses are like that. You have to regulate. Yuktahara viharasya. You have to regulate your eating. Ahara. You have to regulate your sleeping. Yuktahara viharasya. Yukta chastasya karmasu. Yukta svapna vabodasya. You're sleeping. It has to be regulated. Not that you stop sleeping, and not that you will immediately go to 2 hours a day, But at least 6 or 7 hours is enough. It's really enough. And for some of us, it's not a problem. But for others, we have to gradually work up to that. But everything in spiritual life is idealistic. Goloka Vrindavan is a theory to us. A pure devotional service is a theory. There's a philosophy. It's rational. There is no alternative. But we are, because of our purva karma, because of our conditioning, our genetic conditioning, our psychic conditioning, our environmental conditioning, we are what we are. Our parents, the family we've been brought up in, our ancestors, our genes, and the environment that we live in. We're conditioned. So it'll take time to break out of that atmosphere, just like the astronauts when they first sent astronauts into outer space. They were interviewed afterwards what it was like. And one of the famous astronauts said, his answer was, so the reporter asked him, what do you mean? He said it was like a baby's breath of fresh air after coming out of the womb. Breaking out of the atmosphere, getting free from gravity. It just, it's such a feeling of weightlessness and timelessness. And that's just within the material world. That's just the first atmosphere. There are so many layers that the yogi breaks through or passes through on his way to liberation. So it may take us time to get out of our conditioning, but at least we should acknowledge that what we are doing now is good for us. Vegetarian food is good for you. It's healthy. Of course, you have to be careful what you eat. Too many pakoras and too much sugar. That's not good for you in any diet. But a properly cooked vegetarian diet is perfect. A regulated life, brahmachari life, is good for you. It's good for clear consciousness. The greatest men in history, in their greatest periods, were brahmacharis. Right from Julius Caesar to General Patton to his name in Russia, the author. Huh?
Tolstoy.
He was a brahmacharya. So many brilliant people. Even our Italian friend, Da Vinci, the periods of his. Even any athlete, even our friend Mike Tyson, he's in training now for some fight or whatever. He knows he has to be a brahmachari to get his strength up. You cannot break through those layers. A yogi sits in meditation and he generates so much energy while raising his life force up the different chakras. His body burns as he leaves the body. There's so much heat, so much energy to break out of the illusion that we're in. prasad brahmacharyena samena chadamena cha tyagena satya sotyam yamena niyamena va. These are the attributes that you need to acquire. These are the practices that you need to engage in. Austerity, simple living. Simple living. When you can get accustomed to simple living, then you'll be happy everywhere. You'll be able to adjust in happiness or distress, in pain, sukha dukkha same, kritva labha labhau jaya jayau. You'll be able to adjust. You'll never be disturbed again. People get disturbed by the ups and downs in their life. They don't know how to cope with it. Just when they think they have everything going nicely, everything gets turned upside down. And then they haven't got the mind under control, so they just freak out. It's going to get so much worse. We see them, they come here into the temple, mentally disturbed people, very unhappy. You know, this is not an insane asylum, it's a brahmachari ashram. We can't take them in, but it's, it hurts to see them suffering. Because all they've done, they haven't been trained how to cope. They haven't been trained how to control their mind and senses. They haven't been given an explanation of what the material world is. So when they encounter the twilight zone of the material world, they get bewildered. They become frightened, fearful. They don't know what to do, what not to do. What's going to happen to them after death? If they do this, what will be the result? If they do that, what will be the result? How did I get here? They have no equipment, no instruction how to answer these questions. And therefore, they're suffering. And it's our duty to practice simple living and high thinking. And believe me, yesterday we had the GBC challenge. That's not why you joined the Hare Krishna movement. You do not need to worry about any kind of administration. They're all young men. Maybe in the future you'll be given some responsibility to administrate, but now are the best years of your life. Absorb yourself in reading and chanting. You're free. You have time. There may come a time when you have no time unless you become a good time manager. You know, you meet people on the street. I'm sure many of you invite people to come to the temple. Why don't you come to the temple? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have the time. Of course you have the time. We all have 24 hours. What you mean to say is I haven't made it a priority in my life. I'd rather go to the bar, or I'd rather go to the nightclub, or I'd rather go to the movie. I have time. You can't get more than 24 hours. What is it? The devotees have learned how to make more time and therefore they come to the temple. They just make it a priority. Yeyatha mam prapadyante. Krishna says, whatever your priorities, I'll fulfill them. I'll reciprocate. So, this is the best time for you. Go deep into these books. Practice. Work hard. You're young. Your bodies are good. Use them in Krishna's service. All the realizations, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, all the realizations will come to you. You'll be put in situations where you'll hear from advanced persons, or you'll see yourself, Paramatma, within the heart, the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga. He'll give you Teshang Satata Yukdhanam Vajatam Puriti Purvaka. If you're engaged in serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya, then everything is guaranteed. But don't sleep. I'm wasting your time. If you have no interest in reading Prabhupada's books, or you have no interest in kirtan so much, get up and work. Serve the Vaishnavas. Render service so somebody else can go in kirtan. Somebody else can hear. But here the example is given of a python that swallows you up. It's an interesting example. Of course, he says, get bitten by the python. I'm not sure that pythons actually bite you. They swallow you whole, digest you over a period of time. In fact, they call that a jagara vritti, the yoga of the python, where the yogi doesn't make any endeavor for his sustenance, or he just sits in his meditation, maybe for weeks on end before he gets any food, but then some traveler passes by and sees him and makes an offering, and he gets 3 weeks of food all at once. Whatever, Krishna takes care of it. The fact is, the interesting thing about this whole cosmos is that Krishna is Parameshwara, is the supreme controller. And whatever is happening by his grace. Materialistic men have opted, they have chosen to work within the laws of karma. So there's a chance that they could become a demigod. And there's also a chance that they could become an Indra Gopa germ. That's the law of karma, upariyada. You can go up and down. But the devotees, they have put themselves under Krishna's protection. Mamekam sharanam braja. So the devotees go through different situations, but the mood is completely different because Krishna's training them. Preliminary training. Just like we have Dhyana Yoga. So, Yam Niyam, that's the beginning. You can't go directly to asana or pranayama. Sometimes people, materialistic people, will buy a book on pranayama and start pushing their noses around. They have no idea what they're doing. First of all comes yam, niyam. A good life, a regulated life, brahmachari life. Then asana. And that also takes a lot of practice to perfect. Then you can think about pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. That's where the bliss takes place, on the higher levels. So in the same way, until these people, non-devotees, or even devotees for that matter, devotees know that I need to purify myself by a little regulation, a little austerity. Parinami mritopamam. They know that in the end it'll be very nice. Even if you get a taste of the drop of the ocean, you can extrapolate. You can understand. I tasted a drop. It was very nectarian. I won't say sweet because some people don't like sweet. It's very nectarian. Very sweet. So, what to speak of diving in the ocean? Anandam buddhivardhanam. So, we have to have strength and courage and faith. We need enthusiasm, perseverance, patience. We need to summon up all of our passionate energy and dovetail it in sadhana bhakti. Not sleep much. You read different books. It's Radha Damodar Vilas. I was reading there and brought back memories. We would be doing japa and there'd be a devotee going around with a squeegee bottle. Anybody? Or in the Sankirtan band, we'd be all packed in, men and women. Can of sardines. It was, you get 10, 50. We didn't have money. We're lucky if we had one van. So we were all piled in to go down for Harinam or whatever. Just natural that he would fall asleep, you know. First they had these little spray bottles, then they brought these squirt guns, you know, to go long range so you could get some. No sleep. It's ignorance. Nobody has to stay here. Or, if you don't like the brahmachari ashram, get married. And you can sleep all you want. And chant Hare Krishna and be a devotee. We should be practicing austerity. We won't become Rupa Goswami. Get that out of your head. I've seen devotees come in the early days. You know, see some pretty bizarre ones. One English guy that I remember, I'm sure there are others, but he kept trying to imitate Rupa Goswami, sleeping an hour and a half a night. He lasted about 3 or 4 months. Then it was history. Then there was another devotee. He was a good man, actually. He was a good book distributor. Sharma Das, who was on my party. Big, tall, black devotee. He went to India and he thought he was Haridas Thakur. He started living in a tree. And Mayapur, he was chanting 128 rounds a day or something. And then he started walking from Calcutta to Delhi. The Prabhupada wasn't impressed. So that's not what we're trying to do. They are our ideals. We're thinking of them. We would like to become them. We know we probably can't, but that's our goal, our role model, our hero. And by having such good role models, we won't get devoured by the python of sleep. So, my particular vision is that we are all devotees. ones came later, but I've seen those who came later go faster and farther than those who came earlier. So we just don't know what our destination is in devotional service, or what our, how much we'll achieve. We have our etiquette, but that etiquette is good. We'll speak more about that this evening. But as far as I'm concerned, and I have a right to have my own opinion, today's my birthday. It's not Vyasa Puja. I wouldn't want to insult Vyasadeva by associating my name with him. This is who I am. I'm Prabhupada's dog. He saved me. Gone there. We don't accept their goal to do away with God. We don't need God. We do everything. We make everything we need. So in every way they're corrupt. Either they know it or they don't know it. That's why Srila Prabhupada was so incisive, because he could see people. We oftentimes go on speaking in a discussion or in a class, and there's some essential points which belie, which reveal us to be ignorant, or at least not grasping the point, not grasping the right point. But Srila Prabhupada could always cut through all the foam, cut through all the fog, and get to the essential point. Okay, class is over now.
Never think of again.